Hello, World Walkers. Yes, I'm talking to you. Welcome to World Talkers, an Evermore fan podcast. Lend us your ear, learn something new, and develop a mutual obsession. Goblins, dragons, charismatic executioners, and more await as we unravel the secrets that lay beyond the portal of Evermore.
Hello, everyone. How are you? Welcome to World Talkers. I'm Daniel, your host. I am joined today by three of the most glorious men I have ever beheld. Please introduce yourselves, gentlemen.
Why, hello. I am Chandler. Nice to meet you.
And what is up, guys? I am Skylar.
Well, howdy do. My name's Wyatt. How you been?
We are so happy to have you here today for this episode. It's going to be so good. Our plans, as you have seen in our episode title, is to discuss Realms, Evermore's new collectible card game, and kind of talk about our experience with it, some of its highs, some of its lows, as it is currently in a sort of pre-release phase before it hits the markets officially with its core set in a spring of 2020. But before we get started into all of this, we just want to say, in collaboration with World Walker Weekly, another podcast that covers a lot of stuff at Evermore, we have created World Seeker Studios, a YouTube channel that's going to cover in video content form stuff related to Evermore. In particular, our first video is about Realms and a sort of how to play. It should have been released on February 5th if everything has gone according to plan. So go ahead and check that out. And hopefully, if you haven't already engaged with the game, how it's played, the cards, and so on, you'll get an idea of what to expect there before you get your hands on it in the park. So let's go ahead and get into it. Let's talk about Realms.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking specifically because that video covers our tutorial today, we kind of want to do a review, if I'm not mistaken.
Covering those high points, low points, the things that we love, the things that we're like, oh, we're excited to see where Realms grows and goes from here.
For me, the entire game is so thematic. I think that is, for me, the highlight of why I wanted to purchase it and play it, was because I was taking Evermore home with all these amazing characters that I love, and I think that for me is its strongest part, but also that beautiful art, the beautiful designs, and also the Easter eggs, which are kind of some hidden things that if we as a community kind of dig into and pick up on, we might be able to figure out what those Easter eggs are. So that's awesome.
For example, one of the coolest things that at least we kind of picked up on that was very strange was when you were looking at the bards, all of them together, they all have 3 hit points, except for Ollie, who had 4. It was like, oh, something's different about this boy. What's going on? And just recently in the park, by the time this episode releases, it would probably be about 3 weeks ago, Ollie was revealed to be a werewolf, or at least have...
Or a shifter.
Or a shifter, a pure blood werewolf shifter. So there's a lot of words there. But yeah, so the guy has some transformative powers. So,
and also a little bit more endurance.
Yes.
And he healed himself from the Dark Blood Plague.
Right.
So very interesting there. They took story elements and put it in the game and kind of made it this little Easter egg, which, again, masterstroke, honestly.
And even now, like today, this very moment, I was just thumbing through the cards and I noticed that some of the characters have different colored pendants.
Oh, yeah.
And some of them have the same color. Some of them have different color. And like my theory craft brain is just rolling, saying, okay, what's the deal with those pendants, though? What's the deal with those pendants, though? And that's the beauty of the cards, is that it's literally something you can take home and keep investigating, keep thinking about, keep theorizing about. Even on the back of the cards with all the portals, that's exciting. That's awesome. That's one thing that I love. Again, just going off of Chandler, Easter eggs.
Another one being Tip Top, because Tip Top's is a portal that we have no idea where that goes to, what the name of the portal is. And on top of that, Tip Top's, one of Tip Top's abilities is super, super odd.
And they're super sketch.
Yeah, it is. You swap hit points with whoever has the highest hit points on your team. So you're like, Tip-Top's doing a soul transference type deal, and this is weird.
The cards are full of that, which is something that I think, at least for me, makes me really excited, because like we said, like Realms is going to be getting its full release in the spring of 2020, and
gotta start saving up for that.
Save up for that, because they're only going to have more cards. Like, we know that they intend to cover every character that's ever been in the park.
You know, I myself have been avoiding collectible card games like Magic the Gathering because I know it's a money pit.
Yes. But yes, it is.
Come on, Evermore. I mean, good on you, let's be honest. But hey, why did you have to do that to me?
Why do you have to make a thing where I spend all my money?
Why do you
go to the park every week?
Why do you have to make this thing that is so good that I am breaking the rule that I set myself of no collectible card games? Come on, Evermore.
Don't think of it as a collectible card game. Think of it as just a deeper connection to a thing you already love.
Okay, now I want to buy more of it.
I mean,
Come on, which
is another one of the things. I mean, we're kind of going all out of whack here, but I think that's
we are
in regards to our outline. But who cares? We're excited.
We're excited. This is fun.
I think specifically that's also what I really enjoy is that Evermore Realms is the first game. The first thing from Evermore where I truly feel like I am bringing Evermore home with me, taking a piece of it with me when I go. We've had like ciphers and things like that, but with this game, I'm able to play characters, play champions, play townsfolk or whoever, and feel like I'm going on an adventure even when I'm not in the park. And I think that's just a masterstroke, and I want more of it.
Absolutely, and like there, like I was saying, with more cards coming later this year, we're gonna be seeing more characters, and who knows where it is really going to go, because I think that there's the possibility of seeing artifacts and locations showing up that could alter the way that the game is played in like different rule sets, because all of the big card games that are out there like Magic the Gathering. And things like it have varied formats that people engage with the game. So it'll be interesting to see how it will change to accommodate for people's different sort of play styles as the game continues.
The game truly is limitless.
Super limitless.
I don't want to pop your bubble there, Dan. I do know that the creators of it,
they said
did
no.
Say no, but, that it would be heavily character based, but in the future,
heavily character based doesn't mean that they can't ever.
You are correct.
It's like I knew when I was saying that they said no before, but I know that the games when they are created never go as intended. So who knows what it will ultimately turn into or have built into it along the way.
Yeah, I think definitely for the foreseeable future, it's probably going to be
it's going to be character based characters. But I just again.
Future
potential for growth.
Yeah, there is a lot of potential for growth, which
is just like Evermore itself.
Yeah,
the game is limitless with where it wants to go.
Yep.
And even speaking of gameplay, I enjoy that the game is relatively quick. Like, I can sit down and have a 5 to 10 minute game very quickly, and all I need is just one other person, and we can do it while we're waiting. We can do it while we're just chilling in Vander's Keep. Like the brevity of the gameplay is something that I value. I think is really, really great.
That's interesting that you bring up the brevity as a positive. For me, maybe I'm just really bad at the game, but for me, I have felt like sometimes the game is too fast or takes too little bit of time. I'm a strategist. I play strategy video games as well as strategy like board games and stuff. Sometimes I get outmatched in the first or second round, and that to me is very disheartening. It's like, wow, I didn't even get a chance to play my hand and like fight for it.
I know that I've certainly had that happen, especially when I've played against you, Dan, and we had the opportunity to draft or counter draft, to do a full counter draft or of picking. I just, you quite literally destroyed me before I even began my turn.
That is true.
And I was like, well, cool, I guess.
wasn't that a fun Game of Realms?
Yeah. I guess for the competitive scene, the quickness of the games can be as seen as like a low, because if you know what you're doing and you're really gung ho, you can finish a game in only one turn or two turns.
I would be curious what would happen if Evermore ends up doing tournaments, which I'm almost certain that they will, because if you have a card game, why wouldn't you? I'm curious what kind of rules they might end up implementing in regards to how it is drafted. Is it just a blind draft and you show up and it's like, oh, this is the deck I'm going to play. Maybe I'm playing against someone who has this deck. I have no idea. Or is it like I draft one, you draft one based off of a coin toss, kind of like how we've mentioned in our instructional video. Could be very interesting.
There's a lot to be said with where the game is going to go in terms of gameplay choices, because it is fast, and sometimes that can be a great thing where it's like, ah, we just want to play a few games really quick in the tavern, but when it is like, oh, I want to play a little more seriously with my friends back at home, it can feel disheartening. It can feel a little like, oh well, Evermore's at home with me, but now I'm sad at Evermore, and that's not fun. So like I would just say, like, if you do get involved with the Game of Realms, don't expect every game to play so quickly that you're not going to have fun, because I would say that doesn't happen every time. It happens occasionally.
Yeah, I would say that was a bit more rare.
It is. It's a seldom occurrence. When it does happen, doesn't feel so good, but keep playing, because you will have the times when you're the one that crushes a person on turn one, and sometimes that can feel really good.
I mean, and it's based on, I mean, currently there's only 50 total cards, but it is kind of based on your champions, your heroes that you choose, and how you build your deck. So if you do a good job comboing everything together, that's kind of the reward you get.
I guess that's very true. I mean, maybe it's not always that I'm bad, but just the other person was superior, and that's totally fine.
And the luck of the draw, your opening hand, can make all the difference in the world, because honestly, that's where, in my opinion, the games are really won, is with the active abilities of your cards. Mm-hmm. Your static abilities are going to help keep things alive and in play and working well there, but those turn one victories, those are played from the hand. But moving on, obviously we're clearly very passionate about this game, and Realms has already fostered a small but equally passionate community. Yes, they love the game. They engage with it regularly online. I want to say the group is the Evermore Realms CCG community, where rules discussions are going on, gameplay discussions are going on. People are just talking about what they love about the game, what they wish was different about the game, and so on. And a lot of interesting conversation has come up from that, just because the community has already become so connected to it. And largely I would attribute that just to people already have a deep connection to Evermore. So of course they're going to dive in with this thing that is Evermore at home.
And not only that, but they're setting up weekly get-togethers, either that happen further up north towards Sandy or down further down south in Orem and Provo area.
And I've even seen people try to coordinate games online.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people are playing everywhere and between large spans of time and space.
And not only is the community really tight, but like the game devs are on that CCG page.
Indeed they are.
Loading up errata. They're trying to help the community understand the game. They answer questions, which is great.
It is great. It's very nice to have them on that, in a place, in a forum where you can get all that information. Unfortunately, Realms doesn't seem to have any website or support in that regard, or even a tab on the Evermore website, just because there is that errata that is needed, because If you've listened to past episodes, we've kind of talked about that a little bit. This is the first time that these creators have ever created a game. And so obviously there's some learning curves, and we think that it's wonderful and great, but they did have to build a rule clarification and errata document to describe this. And currently that's really the only place to get it is on the Facebook page, as far as I'm aware currently.
Which is great. We love having that page, as we've mentioned, but having that fully built out website from the developers, from the park, would have been so amazing, and is something that I'm still interested why it didn't happen, or why it hasn't happened yet, about a month after the release of the game.
I think my only like thought on why that would potentially be the case is I don't think the release that we have right now was intended to be the official release with,
yes, agreed,
with everything fully fleshed out yet. If nothing else, what we're experiencing right now is like a mass buy-in playtest where people are able to say, you know what? I want to be a part of making Evermore history. I want to be a part of the people that got in this from the ground floor. And
also got those exclusive cards.
Exactly.
Yeah, the collectability.
That are going to be hugely collectible. So it's like, I think from Evermore's perspective, although things are not yet finished, that does not yet mean that this is what Realms is going to be forever.
That's
so
true.
Like, so those things, I'm sure, will come. I just don't think that they had it all ready to launch at launch, yeah, as it were.
And that's a good point, because in the AMA that's also on that Facebook page with Chance LeBray,
definitely, yes,
he mentions that, yeah, this is a pre-release part of the game, and that the edition that comes out core 2020 will be the main set that is released to actually kick this whole thing off. So we did, this is a pre-release of a game.
Yeah, and actually, now that I'm remembering it, I remember him saying that it was a reward for the community, which was a very, so basically what we have, as you said, and kind of to reiterate, was a soft open chance to get into this game, right? Which I think was very interesting. They rewarded their frequent goers. They rewarded their park goers. I wish I would have had a little bit more communication. For me, communication is huge, but I think just a little bit more communication of, guys, like, hey, the packaging says that there's a website. It's not up and running because this is the soft opening or soft release of this product, and so on and so forth. So yeah, that would have been
definitely
nice.
Definitely. That would have been very, very nice. I agree.
I think we can certainly expect that by at least by the core 2020 that releases this summer of 2020, that it should be up and running, because otherwise there'll be a mass release without a website.
We are hoping that is not confirmed.
My assumption.
And one of our last big points that we wanted to talk about in terms of highs with Realms is that it is going to have some in-game impact in terms of Evermore play. Where you'll be able to bring these cards to the park. Exactly how that's going to work yet, I don't know. But so far as I know, you're going to bring some of your cards to the park. As you build relationships with the characters, once they get to a point where they trust you and they can confide in you, they will offer to sign your card, or you can ask them if they'll sign a card of them specifically. And it will be sort of a token that represents, here is a person that trusts me, is with me, and is my ally. And they can, the card itself can kind of be like a stand-in for that character, or as like a benchmark to be like, I have locked in my trust with this character forever.
As well as using that character's trust to gain information from other people.
Yes.
The comment or the example that was given was, a character that you're talking with, they say, well, I don't really trust you very much. And then you kind of bring out Ozymandias and you're like, well, you have a good relationship with Ozymandias. Ozymandias trusts me, so therefore he vouches for me in this moment, and therefore kind of unlocks that information for you and helps you with quests, which is really cool. And I think that's something that the park kind of needed, was a way to bring characters with you on your personal quest without them actually coming with you all the time, because they're busy. They're busy people.
Yeah, the busy boys. Okay,
Yes, Wyatt?
What if, and go with me on this, what if you were a dastardly person?
Sure.
You decided to gain a lot of trust with a lot of characters.
Definitely.
Got a lot of signed cards.
You know, dastardly people love gaining people's trust.
Here's what I'm offering to you.
Yes, yes, yes.
That person sells those cards to people and says, oh, you don't have the trust of Ozymandias. I happen to have a signed card. You may have it.
And you know, that's a fair question. I think there will be buying and selling of cards outside of the park. I think if like it, just because people are going to want to trade and do things that way. I mean, I personally wouldn't buy that, at least like in my perspective, maybe a trade. But at the very least, my personal thought is if I was going to play the game, I want to play the game right. So hopefully someone would have that outlook and be like, I could purchase this person's trust, but still, I don't think that if I had a signed card and was like, hey, Ozzy, you signed my card. Look at this. He'd be like, well, sure, you have a signed card, but I don't know you, actually. I think depending on how it works and how people use it, there could be ways to manipulate it and use it in less great ways that would negatively impact your play. So I would just say, like, I don't know.
I still think in a lot of regards, it wouldn't really do much. Right, it would just ruin your own personal experience.
Exactly. So like, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do it. So yeah, don't do it. That's my thought.
That's just
don't
where my
do
brain
it.
Went.
Yeah,
you know?
And the park has established that, you know, that will affect your gameplay. And if in the moment, if it starts affecting other people's, or if they have a problem with it, they will permaban you from everything. It is not worth it. Don't even do it. Not worth it.
Evermore is more than capable of handling issues like that, and they will respond to it. And I would be surprised if they haven't already had internal talks themselves about how are we going to deal with people abusing this trust system. Because people will try. People will try to push things. But
you always push boundaries.
But don't cross them. Don't be a jerk. Just have a good time and don't ruin things for other people.
That is a very interesting sidetrack that we got on there. I kind of want to jump back, though, real quick.
Yeah, let's jump back. Let's do a hop,
to,
hop back.
Again, the highly collectible nature of these cards.
Yes,
these cards are just so high. So high.
So massive.
So ginormous.
Wow, such big collectible.
I mean to the point where the fact is that there are a lot of options that we can do with these. So for instance, I really like the character signatures. I think it's just a fun thing to collect.
Definitely.
It feels like an Evermore Pokemon type thing. Gotta get them all signed.
It's like getting a shiny Pokemon. You may have your cool Rattata that you found level 3 out on that grass, but did you grind for 20 hours to find your shiny Rattata that would journey with you for the rest of your time as a Pokemon master?
And not only that, but I'm also looking forward to like potential getting actor signatures as well. I would love to be able to go to events kind of like similarly how the New Year's Eve party happened. If you want to figure out how that happened, go listen to that episode. But in regards to how they had like a panel of characters set up, I would love to have a end of season party or whatever where the actors are there as actors, and I would love to like get actor signatures kind of like Comic-Con style, but specifically just for Evermore, and I think that would be wonderful.
Oh yeah,
because I have already personally I have three full decks. I bought one for character signatures, I bought one for actor signatures, and I bought one to play with.
Wah, 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 wah. I'm the IRS. Skylar, why did you spend $300 on cards? Are you trafficking drugs? No,
I just saved my money, and
that's something I don't know how to do.
I'd saved up my money for this.
Dang it, we thought we got one. That he's just responsible. The IRS is now leaving.
Yes.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
I have substituted eating for Evermore merchandise. Yes. I just, osmosis is my nutrients.
Yes.
Photosynthesis.
He took a big gust of wind for lunch. That's what he ate.
No, yeah, I've decided to become a plant, so I've just started like gluing leaves to my body. And I've noticed I am photosynthesizing very well.
That's impressive.
I feel chlorophylled.
Ah.
I'm grinning like an idiot right now. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Might I suggest our new topic of conversation?
Yeah.
How do you feel about the rules? We do have a lot of errata that is released that we're talking about and has been given to us. How do we feel the rules stand as of right now?
The rules themselves, they facilitate a short, good game thematic that can be very fun, as we've talked about. It's very rare, few and far between, that the game turns out not being fun. I actually have a lot of fun with the game. So the rules themselves, there are some problems with them. I think that the rule card really needs some help. The writing is tiny. It is supposed to be Gudrun Gray writing this out, but the font, the typeface that they chose to represent her handwriting can be very difficult to read, especially in that tiny font, as well as there's just so few rules on that tiny card.
I think specifically the difficulty with the rules is the there seems to be a slight non-uniformity in regards to vocabulary.
Yes.
The descriptions. For instance, damage on the instruction card says that damage is always applied to shield. And then if you look at Suds McBride's card, it says he heals one damage. So I would interpret that when I read it as he heals a shield, but at the point in where which he would be used, it is kind of useless. But the errata has clarified that he heals a hit point.
Same with Dark Aran. You flip him over to this very powerful juggernaut, but his static ability says
last hope that
he hurts himself for one damage. So in my mind, as I'm playing,
or Lost Hope.
No, Lost Hope is his static ability on the good side. When he is the only one left on the battlefield, he gets buffed. But when he's flipped,
I don't remember what it is.
It's a different ability.
I don't remember what it is. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. You continue.
In my mind, and according to the rule card, that means that he lowers himself one shield every turn, which at the end of the turn would just go back up. But the errata clarifies that it is that he hurts himself one HP.
Yeah.
So there is definitely some vocabulary that needs to be ironed out and corrected, and has been done so through the errata, but the actual card still reads as such.
No hope.
If you flip it, it's last hope.
The first one
is his static ability.
Okay. His alternate state is no hope.
No hope.
We got it.
Yeah, we got it.
We figured it out. Hey, everybody, my name's Daniel, and I'm an idiot. Welcome. Nothing new.
How dare you? How dare you not have all 50 cards memorized?
I'm so sorry.
What's their quote?
What am I doing?
What is this quote on the card without looking? Tell me.
I have a beard. My mirage.
I have a beard. Mama.
Which I think this vocabulary problem honestly could have been fixed with more playtesting. I'm not sure why the game didn't go through a lot of more playtesting, but it shows the symptom of not being able to, of not going through the minds of many people, because not everyone understands damage the way that they intended it, right? Like,
who knows how many iterations that the cards have gone through. So in your mind, you think of it one way, and then when in reality, the vocabulary has spoken differently.
Correct.
To be honest, it's a very small, simple mistake, but it can add up to a problem since it's between multiple cards. Overall, again, not a super big deal. It's in my mind probably the biggest. It is still, however, probably the biggest hindrance in conjunction with the rule card that makes understanding difficult to play. And in quite a bit of instances, depending on who you have in your party, you are not playing correctly unless you have the errata with you.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And that's just one of the hardest things about the game, where it's like, all right, you either have all of that memorized and people trust you, or you do just have that pulled up the entirety of the time while you're playing, if you're going to be using the specific cards that are listed there for clarifications and so on. There's a lot to be said about that. And I guess just onto another point is just the game, just a quick positive, is balanced. The game is very well balanced. However, I would say that within that balance, my personal opinion as someone who loves trading card games and collectible card games and the like, is that there are certain cards that I just don't see myself ever using, because in conjunction with like a whole, I don't see all of the cards being equally useful. And we were chatting about this a little bit before we were recording, and Chandler brought up the point where like that is kind of the expectation in these games, where not every card is going to be equally useful, which is totally right. True.
And maybe I know so little about collectible card games, as I said, but isn't that also the case in similar games like Magic the Gathering or even Pokemon? Like, isn't the Pokemon you brought up earlier, like...
Yes.
There are many, many straight-up useless cards right. in the Pokemon game.
there's a lot of useless stuff. I think... The difficulty right now shines because there are so few cards, mm-hmm. where it's like, okay, collectively, I love all of them, but right now, whenever I think about like building a new strategy, how am I going to deal with, how do I want to make a new deck centered around these characters? I typically keep coming back to the same cards because I'm like, these have been the most useful to me, which I think is just a symptom of there not being all of the cards out yet.
Yeah,
which is totally fine.
And also
totally fine.
And no, a small caveat. I mean, that very well could be just your play style.
Absolutely. I've had a lot of fun playing with the cards that I wouldn't normally use. And it's been great. It's not that they're not fun to use. I would just say when it comes to my personal playstyle as someone that wants to quote unquote like min-max my decks, there are certain cards where I'm like, oh, I am going to be stunted if I don't have this. I need these three cards if I want to pull off this crazy wombo combo.
And you're right. I mean, we saw that in the Evermore Realms CCG community,
yeah.
especially as it was very soon after the release, everyone was just talking about the craziness that can come from, for example, the Giardani Greasy combos. Very wonderful cards that if you don't play or don't have, it kind of, you miss out on that, which I think you can substitute or build your deck around other people, but it seems like there are a few standout things that make other characters and other cards not necessarily useless, but less used and less impactful.
Yeah.
Less specialized, I suppose, in that regard.
Yeah. So, I mean, it'll be really interesting to see how these cards, again, as just as that potential for growth, this is a low for now. It's going to grow out. We're going to see more cards come out. Who knows? Maybe some of the cards that I don't think I would really want to use right now will become even more useful because future cards will enable them to do crazy awesome things. And that is something else that we've seen time and time again in other trading card games where it's like, oh, that useless card before, now it's the center of the entire meta of the game.
Yeah, a lot of opportunities to expand. And I think that's, yeah, like you were saying, what's wonderful about card games, trading card games like this.
Now, what about the actual cards? Because I myself had problems in two instances. One, when I purchased the deck, my full deck of 50, I actually was missing 6 cards right off the bat.
Ooh, yikes.
So I'm not sure if that was, I mean, problems in production, whatever. So please make sure you are counting your cards. Make sure you're getting your full deck. I would put that caveat out there. The staff was wonderful to work with. They recognized that was a situation that could pass. So they will work with you. But also, I had some card, I think...
I also had one Skyler, as well.
Yeah, where the actual card and I don't know the wording, but the, do you know a little bit more?
So it was the backing. So it was just the film or the printing, kind of like the foil, began to peel off the card. And this was straight out of the deck, like brand new, just opened. And I mean, that happens with like anything in production. You're going to have errors. You're going to have variabilities. So, yeah.
But again, we resolved that very quickly, very easily through the email realms@evermore.com. We sent in what was going on. They asked us to send in some photos to kind of go it through that. And they responded promptly, which again, I made mention of this. I am so pleased that Evermore is responding and communicating about this fact. For me, that completely... Yes, there is production issues, but for me, that completely gets rid of this as a low, because they are willing to work with you and are very prompt and on top of their game there.
Yeah, because other than that issue, I would say the quality of the cards is spectacular. They have a wonderful weight. They're very tactile in the hands. They don't... One of the big things is they didn't get like staticky or stick together. I've never had an issue with sliding cards against each other and like swapping them through my hands. And then also the gold foil. It's a very beautiful looking product, as well as the art that has gone into it.
And just talking about the beauty of the cards, the way that they are, protect your cards. We highly recommend getting some card sleeves. You can find them on Amazon. Just search like tarot card sleeves, because the card size specifically for Realms cards is about the size of a tarot card. And you can find a bunch of sleeves on Amazon, wherever you find your card sleeves, honestly, for very, very cheap. I got, I think, 220 card sleeves for like $6.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're extremely cheap. You can also find some deck boxes that can fit them in there. So if you're worried about the possibility for damage being done to your cards, just go the extra mile. If you've already spent $100 on them anyways, an additional $6-$20 is probably going to be worthwhile to quote unquote protect your investment. Like, just make it a worthwhile purchase.
And about that price, how do we feel about so it was the standard deck, or standard starter deck, randomized, was $40.
Right.
And then the full deck, which included cards that aren't going to be in production again, is $100. So you are paying a hefty sum, but do we feel like that sum was a good price point?
For me, $100 is a little over, budget. I thought, when you think about it, it's $2 per card. Some cards are collectible, are going to be exclusive, which for me kind of tilts it back to, it's pretty fair. I'd like to see a little decrease in price, honestly, but I think 100's okay.
Yeah, I would say as a collectible, I think the price as it stands is reasonable and understandable, 100%. I would say as a game alone, it is very pricey when compared to other games where you're going to be buying a similar amount of cards. It's typically, like, if you're going to be buying... I talk a lot about Magic the Gathering here. If you are going to go out and buy a off-the-shelves Magic the Gathering deck, chances are you're looking anywhere between like $25 to $40, depending on where you're buying it, the local game store, if you're buying it online. Yeah, so I would say... In about that price range, in my experience. And then with this game, I would say a lot of the price comes from its collectability. So there's a lot to be said in terms of like what's to be expected from that price. But as it stands, I think it's reasonable.
I think I would agree with that as well. I think it's pretty reasonable, especially considering that it's the first run, first print. They got to prove that it's profitable. They have to prove that there's interest. They're working with their manufacturer to determine how this is going to work out best and how do we move forward doing it in the future. So I would be surprised if the price doesn't drop a little bit when they figure it out a bit more and like start releasing more cards as well and get more into a lot more mass production, especially hopefully they get an online store for this to be able to sell. And in the AMA, I'm trying to remember, I think he made mention to the fact that you could possibly earn cards from characters in parks, so you could get some for free. I think there's a lot of opportunity. Again, I also think $100 for the collectible nature, the quality of card that you're getting, and the time in which you're getting into it, I think it's pretty fair.
I would totally agree with you guys. For me, the price point was fair, kind of a little bit steep, kind of hurt me a little bit, but because of the exclusive nature of those cards and the glorious, the beautiful painting or artwork and everything that's on there, I was okay with it.
So final thoughts here, like as we kind of get close to the wrapping up here, what are our takeaways? What do we think about the game as a whole?
Great game, great artwork, and the best way to take home Evermore.
A solid collectible that was issued to the park. That was a great game. The game itself, I think, still struggles and is not a perfect game. And the creators have mentioned that, hey, this is not a perfect game. But overall, a beautiful, worthwhile investment that you can take home Evermore and has a strong potential for growth.
I would jump right in there again. Just as I was saying, the art is incredible. The gameplay is fast and easy and fun to play. I also think that there are some issues. It is an imperfect game, but that a lot of the issues are extremely straightforward. Well, we just need to change vocabulary and keep consistent vocabulary, make the rules a little easier to read on the card if it's going to remain on an instructional card, and just very simple things that are definitely outshined by the quality and art and the identity of what these cards are meant to be.
Absolutely. And I guess my thoughts on it is that, you know, as has been said by just about everybody, that it's an imperfect game, but as it stands, its identity is strong. It knows what it is. And, you know, honestly, moving forwards, I think it's just going to get better, get stronger. It'll continue to explore the space of what it is and how people are going to interact with it in deeper and more meaningful ways as it becomes a more central part to the park. And then as well, I would say that I think there's something in Realms for everyone. I've seen kids playing it and absolutely loving it. I've seen adults getting into it. I've seen folks our age and sort of the 18 to 30 range just loving it, picking it apart, and just like, and it has brought all of these people together, which is already a sign of amazing success. So, fantastic game, great identity, strong community. Where it goes in the future, I don't know what it will look like, but I know it's going to be good. Excellent. Well, that kind of concludes this episode for us, talking about the highs and lows of our experience with Realms as of its pre-release event from New Year's Eve. So thank you so much for listening. We just want to cover one thing briefly before we get into our big sign-offs, and that is we did a stupid, and our Patreon subscriber, the $25 tier that we talked about in our last episode, their name is Ariel Rose, not Ariel Ross. Sorry about that. We have corrected it. Now we are no longer stupid.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm pretty dumb still.
We're working on it.
Also, on top of that, like we said at the top of the show, we have opened up a new YouTube channel called World Seeker Studios that we do in collaboration with World Walker Weekly in order to put less strain on us just trying to do it independently. And as we said, and as we will have in our show notes, you can find the link to the Evermore Realms instructional video there.
If you like what we're doing and want to support our projects, please do so on our Patreon.
And please also support the park. We really love the park. You can follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Evermore Park and at Evermore Creative Studios. Also, their website is evermore.com.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at our handle at World Talkers. Also, consider calling in to leave us a message at 801-332-9321. Or if you don't feel comfortable calling in, feel free to write us at worldtalkers.podcast@gmail.com.
Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us get the word out and so more people can know about Evermore Park.
Special thanks to our dedicated and amazing executive producer, Aileen. Thank you so much.
And as we journey into ever-expanding realms, we will be seeing you
beyond the portal.